Well, it has been quite a week in our world and in our community. We have seen the spread of the coronavirus labeled COVID-19. It came to our country, it came to our province, our city, and now our community. As of this morning, there were 162,654 confirmed cases worldwide. Over 76,000 have already recovered, but over 6,000 have died. So that means tens of thousands of people are already bereaved and sorrowing because of this virus. Let me briefly review this week here in our community. On Monday, two schools in St. Albert sent letters home to notify families of the potential exposure of one of their students to the virus. On the same day, the price of oil plummeted 25% because Saudi Arabia and Russia refused to limit outputs. This occurred despite a depressed global demand in oil, so oil prices crashed to their worst one-day loss since 1991, which affected stock markets. And so the stock markets dropped more than 7% on Monday and had their worst day since the 2008 financial crisis. But then on Thursday, the stock markets had their worst day since the 1987 crash. This happened despite the U.S. government's injection of $1.5 trillion into the stock markets to try to buoy them up. And with all the cancellations, slowdowns in business and in our culture, countless jobs are threatened. The spread of the virus threatens our world economy, and people are scrambling to get home from overseas. The Alberta medical officer on Friday declared or canceled all gatherings over 250 people. All major sport leagues have suspended operations, and entire countries in Europe are shutting down, quarantining millions and millions of citizens. In our own community, many of you may have seen empty grocery shelves. In our own church, we are taking the precautions that we can. But no one knows the direction or outcome of this virus. And I don't need you, or me, you don't need me to keep telling you all of the news that's going on. We're just in this together for a while. And so in light of this, my question for you today is, how have you responded spiritually, emotionally, to all that's been happening? Some of you may have a low level of concern because you work in health facilities and you're kind of used to the measures taken to protect from an outbreak. Some of us may have a varying level of concern from low to medium. You've never experienced anything like empty grocery shelves before, so you're not sure, but you're not too worried. And some of us may have a high level of concern because of our compromised immune system, or a loved one's compromised immune system, or because the instability threatens us in some way. So in light of all of this, I felt early this week, even before things escalated, to pause the Isaiah series to directly address this. And I aim today to help us move from fear to faith in God amidst this outbreak. I want to give us some principles from the Bible for a healthy perspective for however long we will have to deal with this. And then we will look at some basic actions that we can take to help one another through this. So here are four biblical principles to help us keep perspective during COVID-19. Number one, the Lord is sovereign over this virus and all other events in the world. God's sovereignty means that he rules over everything. The universe, our world, all living creatures in the world, and all events. Several scriptures teach us this principle, but we saw some encouraging verses when we looked at Isaiah 40 a few weeks ago. Remember these verses? Isaiah 40, verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. He brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Or verse 25 and 26 of Isaiah 40. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these stars? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. So the Lord God sovereignly rules over all things, and he is not a detached observer who watches world events unfold and then decides how he's going to respond. Nor is he surprised by anything or reactive. He governs all and has sovereignty, even over disasters and the spread of disease. He oversees, limits, guides, and governs. And this includes all the sinful and satanic dimensions of such disasters and diseases, which is good news for us, because we gain assurance that the world is not beyond God's control. One commentator puts it like this: Jesus has all knowledge and all authority over the natural and supernatural forces of the world. He knows exactly where the virus started and where it's going next. He has complete power to restrain it or not, and that is what's happening. Neither sin nor Satan, nor sickness nor sabotage is stronger than Jesus. He's never backed into a corner. He is never forced to tolerate what he does not will. As Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So God is in control. But that does not mean he's some universal ruler who sits in his palace in heaven and is unaware or uncaring of what life is like on the earth. The second principle for us to keep during this time is that God is with us and a present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 state, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. And I preached on this passage back on September 1st, entitled, An Ever-Present Help in Trouble. And if you want to go back to hear that message again, go back to our website later today and look up September 1st, 2019. We learned that day that God is always present in the midst of trouble. He is present in the midst of his people. So we don't have to doubt or wonder if God knows what we're facing. We don't have to wonder if he cares. He is present, and he does help. Over and over throughout the Bible, we see God command his people not to fear, because he is with them. Listen to Joshua 1:9, for example. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Or Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or Hebrews 13:5 and 6. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So God is sovereign and in control. God is with us, a very present help in trouble. Number three, sickness is part of living in a fallen world. This is not news to any of us here. We all see and live with sicknesses. But when we see an outbreak of a virus, it can seem more threatening and invasive. Yet we need to step back and realize that this is part of history and life in a fallen world. Romans 8, 20 to 23 speaks to this, which state, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." When sin entered the world, it affected humanity and creation. And part of sin's devastating impact hit the created order and our physical bodies. All would experience corruption and futility. All would die. And that is the consequence of sin. One commentator writes, "God didn't create a world with disease, disaster, and death in it. The chaotic forces of evil were released when the human race turned from God and the fabric of the world began to unravel. Though many of us are saved spiritually and from spiritual death, we still face physical death. But we live with hope because when Christ returns, sin will be banished once and for all, and death will go with it, along with futility. We will live in a new creation that no longer groans for relief from futility. And we will live in resurrection bodies that will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and somehow spiritual yet recognizable." This point helps us realize that this virus, though certainly unusual and serious for our time, is not unusual for life in a fallen world. And it also points us to the one who can deal with the ultimate cause of this virus, the fallenness of this world, and sin. There's only one person who can deal with that and who has dealt with that, and that is Jesus Christ. So we can attempt to contain the virus and work towards a treatment, and we must engage in those precautions, but only Christ can actually deal with its root cause. The fourth principle to keep in mind during this time is outbreaks and natural disasters test the true objects of our faith. Outbreaks reveal whom or what we really put our trust in, or where we turn for hope in times of trouble. Listen to the words of Psalm 115, and I'll read the first 11 verses. Psalm 115. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. Now, I would say most of the people watching today say, I trust in the Lord for my life. And I don't doubt that claim. But actions speak louder than words. Or in the case of this past week, emotions may speak louder than words. Why on earth did people go and clear out grocery stores of toilet paper? Could it be that such people put more faith in their own ability to stockpile something than in God's ability to provide? Or maybe such behavior reveals that some put their faith and trust in fully stocked grocery stores or a smoothly functioning economic system than in God. For our system to work, which is a consumer-based economy, we have to have goods to consume. So if the economy or our stores lack such goods, stockpiling somehow restores faith, at least for those who have stockpiled something. Or maybe our faith is in a healthy stock market or oil prices, and then the market has its worst day since 1987 on Thursday. And suddenly our faith shakes because the market shakes. Or maybe our faith and purpose comes from following some professional sports team. That is our hope. That's where we get joy. But now all sports leagues have been postponed, and we feel lost or without purpose. And suddenly what seems so important is reduced to just one of many events subject to government cancellation. Or maybe we place our faith in our freedom to travel, but government limits travel, so we lose our outlet or our escape. When a natural disaster hits or a worldwide plague spreads, it can expose our idols. So the question arises, who have we been trusting? And if it's not the Lord, we need to repent of minimizing his worth and putting more faith in fully stocked grocery stores, healthy economies, stable prices, or unrestrained freedom to pursue entertainment. God is in control and reigns over all that's happening. God is with us and is a very present help in trouble. Sickness and this virus are part of living in a fallen world. Such times test who or what we fully trust or put our faith in. So how will we respond? Here's four ways you might respond. Number one, do not fear, for the Lord is in control. Remind one another of this. Remind your children of this. God is watching over us and is present with us through this. Number two, take necessary precautions. Sadly, I've read of some Christian leaders saying things like, if you're a Christian, you won't get the virus. God will protect you. I don't think we have biblical warrant to make such conclusions. So take necessary precautions. God has put truth and wisdom into a variety of people, so take the best wisdom and act on it. Number three, evaluate who or what you put your trust in, other than God. And if God reveals something or someone to you that you trust more than him, repent of that. Use this time for a self-examination and then realign to him. And number four, together, let us be a beacon of hope and calm during this epidemic. Let the Lord be your rock, and from his stability, give hope and stability to others. So let us pray together. Lord God, though many things are beyond our control, there is nothing that is beyond your control. And so we come to you today, and we acknowledge again your sovereignty over all. And though we don't understand all that's going on or why things are happening, we trust all of this to you. Thank you for your sovereignty, but thank you also for your care, for your concern, for your mercy during this time. Comfort those who are bereaved. Calm those who are anxious. Give courage to those who are fearful. Help us to be a beacon of hope and light because of you and who you are. Lord, also forgive us where we have elevated something else above you as our God. Though we may speak that we trust you, in practice we may live as if we trust someone else more than you. Forgive us for that and help us to use this time for your glory in reorienting our lives to you. And lastly, Lord, guide us. Guide us as we have asked for. Protect us and walk with us. Help us to be the body of Christ for one another and for all who are around us in need of help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.